recorded live.
You are listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to the July 3rd episode of the Geocaching Podcast. It's episode 20. We're going to be talking a little bit about GSAC today. But first, welcome back to the show, Daryl. It's been a couple weeks since you've been on, but welcome back.
It's good to be back.
First thing of order, we are actually going to give away the GeoCoin that we've had for our contest. But first, before we do that, just want to remind anyone who would like to call in, the number again is 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID is 7525. And if you don't have a PIN to use, dial on the PIN pad, Geocache 01 or 02, and that'll get you into the show today. But let's go ahead and give away the coin. What we have done is we've put everyone into an Excel spreadsheet and used a random function. So what I'm going to do is the number that's the lowest when I load it up is going to be the winner. So here we go. The number that is the lowest right now is actually GeoAddict. So GeoAddict, you have 2 weeks from the date of this podcast to send an email to us and give us your name and your address so we can go ahead and send out that coin to you. You can do that a couple different ways. Best way is to go to our show notes and you'll see there our email address. But our email address is xpunkx@geocachingpodcast.info. And so that was the coin giveaway for today. So, Daryl, what's been going on with you the last couple weeks?
Well, most of my time lately has been spent getting ready for the Midwest Geobash, and I've got to get the podcast lined up to get out in time. So lots of time editing, lots of time prepping for Geobash, and a little bit of time geocaching.
I'm really depressed. I found out this last couple weeks ago that I'm actually not going to be able to go to the bash. My cousin is getting married, and it's really depressing me because I can't go to the bash, and it's so close for me. It's about an hour away, but the wedding is a little bit of drive for me, and then for me to drive that evening out to GeoBash, it would just be a long time. So I'm actually not going to be able to go this year. That kind of bummed me out. So what all do you guys have planned for the GeoBash when you're there?
You know, we're not really 100% sure yet. I've been talking with Sunny and Sandy over at Podcacher. We're talking about setting up to do some recording out there. I'm bringing pretty much the whole studio with us, so we'll have a lot of gear for some good recording. Hopefully we'll get some good stuff recorded for their show. We're looking at launching a new show, a new podcast ourselves. So don't want to give too much away, but you might be able to find that one online shortly after the GeoBash.
Ooh, I'm excited. I can't wait to hear about that. I was planning to be there, but you know, life happens. So, anyways, the past couple weeks, this past weekend I did some caching. My parents were here, so me and my son and my dad went out, and I actually hit Indiana's first geocache this past weekend, and so that was kind of cool to be able to hit a geocache that was the first one in Indiana. So I was pretty excited about that.
Oh yeah, you gotta love those kind of mile marker caches like that.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, and now on my stats it shows that as my earliest cache. So that's kind of cool. So what else is going on here in the world of geocaching? The Bushnell Onyx 400. I looked a little bit on it, and I see a little bit of different reviews, kind of, but nothing on their site.
It's kind of weird, but this thing sounds pretty interesting. Something I'd like to get my hands on. The thing is a GPS with an XM radio, and it does the satellite overlays through the XM. So you have to subscribe to XM to get all the cool features. But boy, wouldn't it be nice to have satellite weather and stuff right on your GPS when you're out there caching.
That would, and it actually sounded like you could listen to the radio with it, too.
Oh, yeah, the full XM radio.
That's pretty cool. I would be interested. Do you think I could hook it up to my car too, so I could listen to the stereo? I don't know.
Yeah, I've got to
That's
think that they have a headphone out at least on this thing. They don't have a whole lot of information on any of the sites that I've checked. But I'd love to get my hands on one just to do a review, if nothing else.
It'd be interesting. Maybe we can contact Bushnell about it and see if they give out demo ones, or if how that works, that we could try it out.
Yeah, they don't even have it on their site right now. I'm wondering if they're keeping it secret.
I wonder how everyone got the information on it. Did someone leak?
Well, I know that I found it through a certain website out there that sells them, and they have it on sale right now for 1 penny off the $500 regular price.
One thing I haven't, I, when I was looking at the reviews and stuff of it, I didn't see if there was a way to connect it to the computer. I didn't see that. It didn't have any information on that I saw.
Yeah, there's just not a whole lot of info on this thing, period. But it does have the micro SD card, so I wouldn't be terribly surprised that they might have skipped the USB or serial connection and just gone with the cards. So you might have to load everything onto the cards and then transfer them in. But these are the guys that did those satellite images in the GPS as well. So they've got some interesting ideas going. And from what I've heard, none of the GPSs that they have really work terribly well for geocaching. But I can see these guys coming out with some good stuff in the future.
Yeah, it definitely it sounds interesting, and I'd be interested to get my hands on one and try one out.
Oh,
So if any of our listeners have any connection with Bushnell and they can send us a demo unit, that'd be great.
yeah.
What we're going to be talking about today a little bit is GSAC, the Geocaching Swiss Army Knife. It's a tool that I use, and I've just started using recently, but I thought we'd do a little bit of a show on it because it is a very daunting tool because it's so powerful that I thought we'd do a little bit of the beginning tips and tricks with it, and maybe next week we'll do a little bit more advanced tips and tricks. So, Daryl, do you use it?
I've looked at it, never had a chance to really use it, and it is one of those apps that's just really, really daunting when you first look at it. So, unfortunately, I never took the time to learn it.
Well, the first thing we're going to notice about it is you can get it from their website, which is gsak.net. It stands for Geocaching Swiss Army Knife. And when you first download it and install it, if you don't have any, the main thing, I was going to look at this when I first started geocaching, but when I first started geocaching, I didn't have a premium membership. And so one of the things you'll notice is it's not real good if you don't have the premium membership to get all the pocket queries, because it won't give you any of the information that you really, really need to use these GSAC. When you do load it up, though, it does give you an option to install some sample data, which is actually, I think it's actually in Australia. So the guy who makes it must be an Australian. But you once you can you have the option. Basically, what it is, it's a database tool to database your you the database caches around you. So there's different databases that you can create. I've created a couple different ones. I've got one for a default database, which I have all of my caches around the area that I live. I basically what I've done is I've created a pocket query that has the caches, 500 caches within 500 miles of me. And I've loaded that into my default database. Then what I do is what I can see, there's a lot of different things you can see and set up, but the first couple things that you'll notice when you first out of the box get it is you'll see the code, the GC number. You'll see a little icon of what it is, if it's a a traditional a multi-cache, a virtual unearth cache. You'll have a little icon that has if it's got travel bugs in it, a checkbox for a user checkbox, which we'll explain a little bit more here in a second. There's a last log, there's a waypoint name, how many miles it is from your home coordinates. You can go ahead and set that up, and we'll talk about that here. The bearing, who it's placed by, when it was placed, last time that it was updated, by a pocket query that you put in there. And the last time it was found, the container, the difficulty terrain, and the states. So let's talk first about how to set the mile, like how to set your home location. What you do to set up your home location is you go to the Options tab, and then the third tab over is where you put in your home coordinates. And I would suggest doing that right away. So I put in my home coordinates where I actually live, and you do that by labeling home, comma, and then your coordinates. And you can give it lots of other places too. So if you want to add your work in there, you can do that. If you want to add, you know, somewhere else, you can do that also. But the thing that you're going to do is you do that. That way you can see how far away from you it is, from your home. You're also going to see, too, in the main screen is the last four logs. You have different colored boxes. If they're red, it means it wasn't found, and then the green ones are found. So you can see kind of at a glance what's going on with that. The thing that kind of screwed me up in the beginning, because I wasn't really sure about this, is geocaching.com doesn't include in their pocket queries caches that are archived. It'll tell you if the caches are temporarily disabled. So you'll see that when you get your pocket query. You'll see that the color on the code changes a different color. It changes to pink if it's temporarily disabled. But it doesn't update them if it's archived. So you may have a couple caches that are in your database that are actually archived. So the best way that I've found to do this, and I've talked to a bunch of different people who use the geocaching Swiss Army knife quite a bit, and they say what they do is they use there's different filters you can get put into GSAC. And what they do is they go to a filter, and you can set ones to use later and save them. And they set up a filter that they filter out, and they uncheck the found button so that any caches that are found by you doesn't show up in this. And then they uncheck they go to the dates tab, and they uncheck or they check it so it's the last update GPX is not during the last like 4 days or whenever, however often you actually update your pocket queries, and then uncheck the corrected coordinates, yes. And so what happens when you run that filter, it'll just show you the caches that weren't updated in the last 4 days due to the pocket query and that you haven't found and that did not have updated coordinates. So what you can do then is you can go, those caches that show up, you can right-click and say open waypoint URL, and it will actually open the geocaching page. And so you can then see if it actually is archived, and if it is, then you delete it out of your database. Do you guys? And I'm kind of talking a lot here since Daryl hasn't had a chance to use this. Daryl or Moscow32, do you actually have any questions right now so far about this that I can answer?
No, I'm just waiting for more information, you know.
I will. If not, I will continue on with my spiel here about GSAC.
Yeah, you know what? I'll break in for a second, though, and mention that in GeoTalk Episode 1, they had done an interview with Clyde England, who's the developer of GSAC. So if anyone wants to check out that interview, which I thought was pretty interesting, just go to the GeoTalk website, which is geotalk.libsyn.com, and look for Episode 1. And yes, I'm from Australia.
I am actually going to have to go listen to that now because I didn't know that they interviewed him, so that'll be cool.
Yeah, it was a good interview. It was obviously one of their first, being Episode 1, and they did a really good job, I thought.
Cool. I'm going to check that out as soon as we're done here. So back to GSAC here. Okay, so we've got our caches that are up to date. What can we really, really do with it then? You can do all sorts of different things. Here's what I do. I actually, once I've found I actually have GSAC running on my laptop. So I actually use it as a paperless type of caching. I go out with my laptop, and when I see the waypoint pop up, I go ahead and go to the GSAC, and I put in the code that I see, and I can read it. Since it's an offline database, it gives me the last four logs. I can read them. It gives me the hints. It tells me all sorts of things about what, you know, the actual cache is. So I don't have to, you know, wonder if it's going to be one that I can find, if it's one that I can't find. So I use it as a paperless type of a thing. But you can do all sorts of different things with it. So once I actually have, once if I when I'm in the car and I'm hunting out caches, I have it set up so I can click. I show another column in here for me that has found. And when I find a cache, I go ahead and check found, and then I can right click the waypoint. I can right click the actual waypoint. I can then click add, change, delete, note, and there's a log section, so I can actually write the log that I'm going to put in here and that I want to write for the geocache. And then when I get back home, and we'll cover a little bit more of this next week, there's macros that you can run in GSAC that will do all sorts of different things. But one of the things I do is I have it run so I click it and it goes to all the ones that I have checked found. It opens up the web page for it and it copies the log that I put in notes, and I can just paste it right into the thing and log it. So especially that's good if I'm doing the long days of geocaching like we talked about last week, so that I don't need to write everything down and copy them and write them on the website. It saves me a little bit of time doing that. So that's how I do it. And then once I'm done finding them, I actually delete them out of my database. Some people leave them in there, and they have, you know, can run all sorts of different stuff on them, like stats and stuff. But I go ahead and actually delete them out of my database. So I don't worry about the ones that are, I don't leave them found in my database. So I update them. I have pocket queries coming to me Monday and Thursday, so I can keep up the waypoints and you know, the last logs and stuff like that for my area. So that's one of the things that I do with it. Now, what's cool, though, is you can also do all sorts of exporting and things like that. So if you say, you can say file, and then you can export, and you can export to all sorts of different file formats. You can do the CacheMate files. You can do like a comma separated values or text. You can do Delorme, Tabo. You can do all sorts of different things. You can export it as a GPX or an LOC file. You can export them as HTML files. I've seen people print out a book of their caches too that they kind of take with them instead of it's basically paper caching is what it is. But you can export it as all sorts of different things, and then you can also do export, there's a macro that will do this for you that will actually export the files onto the notes section of an iPod. So you could do paperless like that too, which is something that we did a little bit last week when we were out with my parents. I exported all the caches we were going to hit to my iPod, and then we took that in the car instead of the laptop. So that also works too. We'll get into a little bit of that next week, but you can also then hook your GPS right up to GSAC and export to your GPS just like that. You can send your waypoints and receive your waypoints from your GPS, which works really good if you know, because you can set up a section, you know, you can customize just with the little bit that's showing, the caches that are showing, and then you can export those just to your GPS. So I could say, it's the third button, or the second button over, it looks like a little paper and a magnifying glass. I'm going to click that, and that's the selective filter. And what you can do is there's all sorts of different things here. You can say if the cache name contains a certain amount of things. So, like, if there's a certain series that I don't want to see, I can just type that in there, and it doesn't show up into my filter. I can also do a distance from my house. I can say if I found it or if I've not. If it is placed by somebody. If the difficulty and terrain is a certain amount, I can say if it's got a travel bug in it. I only want to show the ones that have travel bugs. I can do that. I can say if the owner's name is a certain thing. I can just show those ones. I can also do like a last found date. So I can say if they're the caches are found in the last week, show me them. If they're not found in the last week, don't show me those. I can say if I DNF'd it, because you can also say if you tried to do this and you DNF'd it, the date that DNF is. You can say the last log date, which is if the last log date is, you know, equal to or before or after. You can just show those. You can just show traditionals. You can just show multis. You can show anything you want, pretty much. You can also say, let's see here, if the find count is less than or greater to a certain amount, show it. You can say if the last log date. You can also do what's called our arc polygon points, which I've not really messed a whole lot with, but, oh, hi, I'm sorry, Mask is requesting to talk. I will go ahead and unmute him. Welcome to the show, Moscow. Let's see, what else can you do here? With the filters, that's about it, but that's pretty much anything. So you can filter out and just show a certain amount. Now, if you want to delete a waypoint from a certain database, you can just go ahead and click the delete button. And what it does is it will ask you then if you want to delete just this waypoint, all the waypoints in this filter. So if you have a filter that's showing just like a certain series of caches that are named a certain way, you can say all the waypoints in this filter. You can say all the waypoints in the database or all the ones that you had checked with the user checkbox, which is the little guy at the top, the little guy that's kind of standing there. You can just check those if you want to check those. So if you're going through and you are looking and you see you want to hit this cache and this cache and this cache, you can check those and then just show those. There's a couple different filters that automatically come in when you first download GSAC, and there's the last two DNF. You can click that, and so it just shows the ones that are last you did not find. So you can exclude those from your find. That way you don't have to spend time trying to search for those. You can say my found caches, so it'll show a listing of the caches that you have found. It'll show you not found yet, so the ones that have never been found yet. So if you want to try to do an FTF, you can show that. You can click that, and it will do it. And then, I created a saved filter called stale caches, which when I click it, shows the ones that have not been updated in the last 4 days. So, and that's pretty much it about the basic stuff. Do either of you two guys that are on the call right now have any questions?
No, I think I just need to get my hands on it for a while.
One comment there with the arc polygon. The point of that was, I think, to kind of do what caches along a route does now. You could design a route that you wanted to get the caches along within a half mile, a mile, or whatever you chose. But now that GC has caches along the route, that's really been antiquated.
And that's kind of what I thought. Like I said, I've never had a chance to really play with that one, so I wasn't quite sure about that. But I did notice that, yeah, it kind of gave a little description, and I kind of, when I saw that, thought, hey, that's probably what that's for. One of the other things that you can do is, like I said earlier, you can have multiple databases. So, like, say I was going up to Daryl's area, up by Detroit. I can run a pocket query, and I can actually create a new database just for that area. So I don't have to worry about adding all of those caches and maintaining those caches into my main default database. I can have one called Detroit. And so then I could actually, you know, add a location, too, and say I want to, you know, be the hotel that I'm at, and then it will show me from there how close they are. And so so that's how I would do that. Another thing that is kind of handy too is you can also, for your center point, which is they call your home or whatever, you can actually, if your GPS is hooked up to GSAC right then, you can say get it from the GPSR, and so that's cool because it will set your point from where you're at. So if you're in the car and you have your GPS hooked up, it'll automatically tell you which caches are the closest to you. I've not actually done that yet, so I'm going to try that here soon to see if it works, but I'm assuming it does. But I think that'd be real helpful when it comes to hunting caches on the road. Any other question? Oh, I must say this too. GSAC is a PC tool. There's not a Mac version. I'm assuming though, if you have a virtual PC running on your Mac, you should have no problem running GSAC. So,
yeah, as long as you have some kind of virtualization or virtual engine of some type.
Any other questions? Is everything that I said clear or anything else that I could help you guys out with?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. This week's actually going to be a fairly short show. Next week, we will actually get a little bit more into the macros and some more advanced stuff that we can do with GSAC. But for now, this is where we're going to leave it. I would recommend, if you've never played with GSAC, and especially if you're a premium member, go ahead, download it, at least try it. It's one of the best tools that I've found so far to manage the waypoints. Daryl, what do you use actually to load your waypoints and to manage waypoints and stuff?
Well, I'm actually mostly using the pocket queries themselves right out of geocaching.com, but I'm also working quite a bit now with the Mac caching software. That's a fairly new beta product that kind of looks like it's trying to get into the realm of GSAC, but GSAC is such a mature product now that it probably will take them a little time to get to it.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to actually have a show, since you've used that a little bit, maybe we'll have to actually have a show on that too, since you've used that, and you can give us tips and tricks on that.
You know what? I think that would be a very good idea, but I just browsed over to the Bushnell site again, and guess what just popped up over there?
The Onyx 400?
Yeah.
Huh.
And they've changed some of the specs from the specs that I saw at the site that was actually selling it, too. It's now a 128 meg micro SD card.
Huh.
Versus the 64 that they were saying it had earlier.
Hmm. That's
still
cool.
Not a whole lot of information about it, though.
So they are selling it, apparently. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it's apparently on the website and everything now.
Well, I'm going to have to check. We'll have to see if maybe we can get one of these. I don't know if we will, but we'll try.
Certainly worth the effort.
Yes, it is. So here's the thing, guys. Recap, GSAC is one of the coolest software I've found for managing my waypoints. There's a lot you can do with it. Don't get overwhelmed, though. Go ahead and try it. It's at GSAC.net, and you can download it at that. And it's fairly small. It doesn't take up a whole lot of space or RAM on your computer. And so the other thing is GeoAddict is our contest winner. So GeoAddict, if you're listening, go ahead. You have 2 weeks from today, the 3rd of July, to email us at xpunkx@geocaching.com and send us your address so we can get that out to you. If it's not the case, we'll figure some other way to get rid of the coin. So with that, go ahead and go to our show notes, geocachingpodcast.info, and you'll see our show feeds and all of our notes and all the stuff that we talked about there today. And you can also find out the other ways to contact us. And if you're on the road, go ahead and give us a call at 206-350-3DPS. Leave us a little voicemail message, and we're glad to hear from our listeners. So thanks for listening. Have fun, have a great 4th of July, and go out and keep caching while your weekends, while you can. Some of the music on the show today was provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.